the Babylonian worship of Ishtar, the golden egg of Astarte, and the fertility rites of the spring equinox become what? Easter. The Babylonian calendar's end was October the 31st. It was associated with occultic rituals regarding witches and spirits inhabiting animals, especially black cats. Raising and interacting with the dead. If you didn't want a demon to trick you, you'd better have something on the porch that would be a treat for them. To keep the mischievous spirits from affecting your dwelling, Christian Rome could never quite squash that cherished night of demonizing. So then, on the 1st of November, they declared something called All Saints' Day, which became known as All Hallowed Day. So what did all the pagans do? It's fine with us. We'll just turn our night of demonic revelry into All Hallows Eve. Babylon is mentioned over 300 times in the Bible. It was the capital of the first world dictator, Nimrod. And you know what? It's going to be the capital of the last world dictator. Alexander the Great was so taken by the city of Babylon, he was about to move his capital there. You know where Alexander died? He died in Fernley. I love my Fernley crowd. He dies in Babylon. And here's a very important understanding. Babylon was never fully conquered or destroyed. It changed hands, but it was never fully and completely and utterly destroyed. It simply faded and will rise again. Go to your Old Testament book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 5. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, "Lift up your eyes now and see what is that that goes forth." Check it out. Watch this, he says. Verse 6. So I asked, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "Look, it's a basket that is going forth. This is their resemblance throughout the earth. And here is a lead disc." King James, Old King James, has it better translated, a talent. A basket and a talent is indicative of tremendous economic money banking stuff in the Bible. There's something connected to the economics of the realm. Here is this talent or this lead disc. Lift it up and look inside the basket. And who's sitting there? It's a woman sitting inside the basket. Then he, the angel, said, "This is wickedness." And right in your margin there, Revelation 17, verse 3, which tells us more about this woman. Back to the narrative, verse 8. And he thrust her down into the basket, threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked. And there were two women coming with wind in their wings. As an aside, when you see angels of God that appear in Old and New Testament, I want you to notice that they're usually spoken of in the masculine form, he. These are two women coming with wind in their wings. Number one, it doesn't say they're angels. For they had wings like the wings of a... Circle that. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 19 says that a stork is an unclean animal. It's a hint. They may be spectacular, and they may have wings, but they're not angels. Those of you from a spiritualistic past, many of the deities that will come and talk to the humans, typically what gender are they? It's a fascinating idea. Let's keep reading. And they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth, picked it up, and started flying away with it. Verse 10. So I said to the angel who talked with me, "Well, where are they going?" He said to me, "To build a house for it." For what? Weights and measures. Strong economic prowess. And this woman inside. They're going to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. Babylon. Back to Revelation. Mystery Babylon is the religious thing that we talked about. It's the great whore who founds all the religions. She rides the beast with 7 heads, 10 horns. She's the mother of harlots and abominations, and she is drunk with the blood of the saints. In chapter 18, that's the economic, political, and literal physical city that will be rebuilt on the shores of the Euphrates River. Saddam Hussein was attempting to literally rebuild that city. So there's some structures there now. The Bible says there will come a time when Lucifer himself will inspire the architects of the world, and when Antichrist shows up and he forces all the people not only to worship him, but that all the economics are going to flow to him as well. He will be fabulously wealthy. What will he do with his wealth? He's going to raise armies, to be sure. But you know what else he's going to do? A grand building project. Why? Because the devil understands that's my city, Babylon. Then one of the 7 angels who had 7 bowls came and talked with me, saying, "Come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." There she is. That's Zechariah chapter 5, verse 5. What are the many waters, by the way? Isaiah 57, 20 says, the undulating restless seas speaks of a God-rejecting humanity. Verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. By the time the end of the great tribulation happens, every world leader has become a part of this religious and political and economic system, started by the Antichrist. And the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. There is coming an ecumenical movement that the Muslims and the non-biblical Christians who are around after the rapture, and every other religion everywhere, because of the Antichrist, also the false prophet, and the lying supernatural wonders that they will perform, the Christ-rejecting, God-hating world says, these guys are awesome. All the religions of the world will meld into one. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We saw this beast in Daniel chapter 7. You know, we should probably turn there. Go to Daniel chapter 7, and let's refresh our memory. Verse 7. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. What did he see? He saw there was the lion, then there was the bear, and then there was the leopard, and then the fourth beast that was so horrible, he couldn't describe it. And the fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring and breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. You can write in this section, Rome A, because the Bible says it will rise, it will diminish for a period of time, and it will rise again in the last days. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, with 10 horns, right in that section, Rome B, the reconstituted Rome. More on that in a moment. Verse 8. I was considering the horns, and there was another little horn coming up from among them, before whom 3 of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. The Antichrist, Mr. Big Mouth. Verse number 21. I was watching in the same horn, that little one, that uprooted 3 others. I was watching and the same little horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. We've looked at this in detail. This is not the church, and there's reasons for that. This is the second half of the tribulation. Until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and time came for the saints to possess the kingdom, write Revelation 19. That's when Jesus returns. Verse 23, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on the earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms. They shall devour the whole earth. That's why we know the fourth beast, that is to say Rome B, never controlled the whole planet. Did Rome aid control a considerable portion of the planet? But not the whole planet. Arms of the old Roman Empire have tried, demonically inspired. The armadas of Spain, Napoleon, Bismarck, Hitler, the English imperialism. But they weren't going to have the whole earth because it wasn't their time yet. Verse 24. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who will arise from this kingdom. Rome A will do its thing. It will diminish. But when Rome B shows up, those kings will come from the old Roman Empire. We've looked at that in great detail. The European Union, I believe, is the precursor, the foundations being laid for what the Antichrist eventually will take over. Does the combined economic output, goods and services produced in those European Union nations, are they a considerable output? They are number two only behind the United States. Daniel 7, verse 24. The 10 horns are the 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, Rome A. If you put a map of the European Union over the Roman Empire, it's a startling similarity. But another king shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones. He shall subdue the three kings. He shall speak pompous words, Mr. Big Mouth, against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. He shall intend to change the times and the law. He's going to change the calendars. Well, why would he do that? You look at the calendar of a culture, you will see the character of the culture. He's taking all the high and holy days and making them about him. All the world, says 2 Thessalonians, will worship him. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and a half a time. 3.5 years. The last half of the Great Tribulation. Now back to Revelation chapter 17. Verse 4. This woman at first, she's riding on this 10 heads, 7 horns. 10 regions. But what's the Antichrist going to do? He's going to usurp 3 of those regions under his direct governorship. Hence, 10 regions, 7 kings. At first, this woman, the religious system, is riding the economic and political system. Satan is about to destroy this false religious system. He's going to use it only as it serves his purpose, because what's he really going to do? He wants everybody to worship whom, everybody? Himself. Verse 4. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of the abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Write Zechariah 5, verse 8. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and of the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. Now this is, of course, speaking of those killed in the tribulation. This harlot is not just only about the tribulation. Every time a true servant of God has been killed, from Abel till now. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Interesting word in the Greek, awestruck. This is a very impressive, sensual, in other words, for the senses, the eyes, and the ears. Whenever the devil or humans construct a religious system, it's designed to appeal to the senses. It works to elicit feelings. Now, don't get me wrong, in the presence of God, you're going to feel some stuff. However, God is always not about your feelings. He wants us to be obedient to his what? Word over feelings. Proverbs says, 14 verse 12, there's a way that feels right to a man. But the end is what? Death. Versus Psalm 119, verse 52, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And the word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? A light unto my path. Verse 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I know she's pretty pretty amazing, and your jaw dropped, but you shouldn't. I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. That's the kingdom of the Antichrist. For the beast that you saw was, write Rome A, is not, which isn't happening right now, but it will come. It will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. That's Rome B. It's coming. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's easy to dazzle with spiritual hocus pocus and sleight of hand. It's easy to dazzle the unregenerated. But if you are Bible-believing, biblical Christian, greater is he that is in us, amen, than he that is in the world. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, from the foundation of the world. When they see the beast that was, Rome A, is not and is yet to come, Rome B, here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sits. A lot of people get real excited here and they say, I know what that is. That's the seven hills of Rome that Romulus and Remus founded Rome on. Maybe. Whenever the Bible employs a metaphor, then explains to you what that metaphor means that throughout. Expositional constancy. Daniel 2 says that the stone that smashes this great image was a big boulder, but it grew to be a huge mountain. That was the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reign forever and ever after chapter 19. If it's true of Daniel 2, then what would these seven hills or mountains actually be? Seven kingdoms, inspired and empowered by the devil himself. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen. What were the five kingdoms that were tough on Israel before John? Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. One of them is, which one do you suppose that is? Rome, or Rome A. And the other is not yet come. That's Rome B. The opinion of many, it is almost here. And when he, the Antichrist, comes, he must continue for a short time. We know what that time is. Time, times, and a half a time. 3.5 years, the last half of the Great Tribulation. Verse 11. Now this beast, this religious system, this beast was and is not, is himself the eighth. Let's take a quick review. Egypt 1, Syria 2, Babylon 3, Persia 4, Greece 5, Rome A 6, the Caesars. Rome B, the European Union, potentially the foundation. There's seven. And the devil himself is the last ruler of all, which he has always wanted to do, starting on the plains of Shinar. And of this seven, that is to say, all of these ancient empires inspired and empowered by the devil, and is going into perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdoms as of yet in John's time, right? Rome B, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind. What mind? The satanic mind. They will give their power and authority to the beast, which is the man, the Antichrist, and his system. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. Revelation 19. For he is the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Chosen. Wednesday night Roman study. Are you guys perking up how much your doctrine is kicking in here? Verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are the peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, and check this out, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. What a picture. All of Satan's systems, Team Babylon, whether it's drugs, whether it's satanic ritual, occultic, whatever, spiritualism, phrenology, the study of the bumps of somebody's noggin, tea leaves, religions of all kinds, please see this vivid picture. All of Satan's system promised to serve you. But what always happens? Those things always turn around and end up destroying you. They promise to give you a great ride, but they will gobble you up. And now verse 17, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. This is the death of religion, starting in chapter 17, and we'll see it in chapter 18. What is religion? Man trying to reach God. What is relationship, you guys? God reaching down to man. Let's all stand together. If you think about it, all the religions of the world, you got to jump higher, leap faster, get up early, do this, do that, jump through the hoops. Biblical Christianity, I'm not talking about the Crusades, I'm not talking about the terrible audacities on both sides of the Catholic-Protestant problems and the millions that were killed, that's religion as well. Biblical Christianity is unlike every other religion, because biblical Christianity is the only system where God himself leaves heaven and comes down to my level and rescues me. Lord Jesus, thank you for this stark example. You don't want religion from us. You want a relationship. And isn't that what a father would really desire from his kids? The beheading of journalists in the Islamic world, the crucifying of Christians in North Africa and Somalia, the horrible atrocities on all sides of religion, humans hacking other humans to death. Deep inside us, says the book of Romans chapter 1, God has placed within every one of us a God-shaped hole, so to speak, that no other puzzle piece can fit. Residing within every one of us, Lord, resides that little kernel that you have left that wants to bloom into, I know there's a God. And there's the enemy right there to muddy the water and to present to us religion. Pray harder. Pray longer. Read the Bible more. Hurry, hurry. Jump, jump. And if we've bought into it, our religion binds us. If we don't get crushed under the weight of toxic guilt and shame, then on the other side of religion, if I think I am crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's, what do? Religion looks down its nose to the ones that aren't. And pride keeps in. Lord, get us off the gerbil wheel, I pray, of religion. And let us understand that the cross of Calvary, when Jesus said, it is finished. Lord, I can't do it. And God says, I know. That's why I died for you. He lifts me up like Peter out of the Sea of Galilee and sets me at his side. This morning, if you don't know if you're in a relationship, you need to get that straight. And say, Jesus, is it really that simple? With my mind, you paid for all of my sin on the cross? With my heart, I simply say, yes, come in. I want to do that, Lord. I want to be saved, written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If that's you, raise your hand this morning and say, that's me. And maybe say this with me. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. With my mind, I get it. You paid for all of my sin. What good news is that? Now, with my heart and as an act of my will, Jesus, I give you all of my life. Salvation is here. Can you just reach out and let him fill your life and get off the gerbil wheel of religion and get free in the relationship of the resurrected Jesus Christ? Amen? And everybody said, amen.